Well, gentlemen, continuing to magdish everything we're saying today to the victory, Be'ezrat Hashem, everything except for the stupidity of Chayrei Tzahal that are fighting right now, and to the casualties, and to those of near before Shalema, and our hearts are with them. And we were just talking about, on the political side of this morning, about mistakes, and about going back on the same mistake again. And it's interesting to me that in Parshat Vayechi, that we're about to read the Shabbat, it seems to me that Yaakov Avinu is making the same mistake again. And to what am I referring? If you look in Yechumashim, beginning of Perek Memchet. Perek Memchet, Yaakov Avinu is on his deathbed. And as you know, and I don't know how many of you have seen people on their deathbed, but any rabbi has seen this in his past, anyone seen this, you know that on your deathbed, you start thinking about life and the mistakes you've made, and you start asking apologies, and how to fix things. And Yaakov Avinu, in my opinion, is no different. He's on his deathbed. He knows his death day is close. And let's see what he does. You ready? Let's go. Vayiyachar devarim ma'ele. Vayomel Yosef ini avicha chole. Your father is sick. And therefore he takes his two sons and he brings them to Yaakov. Yaakov sees Yosef comes in. He's sick. He's tired. His body is beginning to decay. He gets up from his bed, he sees Yosef, he's very happy, and then he starts the whole story, and then comes Pasukei. And I love Pasukei, because if you want to see someone that makes the same mistake again, you have to read Pasukei. Ve'ata, and now, I'm on my deathbed, I'm thinking about my life. Shnei vanecha nolabim lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim, your two kids that were born here, advoi alecha Mitzrayima. The two kids I'm talking about are ones that came before I came here. The ones I didn't see when they were born. I wasn't there at their bris. Flee him. They're mine. In what way are they mine? You ready? Ephraim u'Menashe. Your two kids, Ephraim u'Menashe. Ki Reuven v'Shimon yumi. They're going to be to me like Reuven and Shimon. U'molaletecha she'olata achariyem v'chayiyu. And their children are considered like Reuven and Shimon. In what way? Al shem achayem yikaru v'nachalatam. When eventually the Jewish people get into Israel and they're going to divide up the land into different parts, Reuven and Shimon are going to get the same amount of land as Ephraim and Manasseh. So instead of Yosef getting a portion, he's going to get a double portion. Gentlemen, what is the problem with this pasuk?
I can't believe make the same mistake as with Joseph.
He's explain.
Well, he's picking a faith to be
the before.
He's rearranging the whole.
He's choosing.
Absolutely.
Granted, one is supposed to be the before your double portion.
Gentlemen.
The firstborn of this one.
There's something very rotten right here. And that is, Reuven and Shimon fought with Joseph. Why? Because Yaakov favored them, Joseph, and not them. Not only did Yaakov favor them, privately in his heart, he expressed it and showed it. How did he express it and show it?
With the coat.
With the coat. So you have here a very interesting situation. The Yisrael ahav et Yosef mikol banav ki ben tzkunim hu lo. He loved Yosef more than the rest of the children. V'asal lo ksonet tzatzim, he makes the coat. And all the other children hate him. Why do they hate him? Don't guess. The pasuk says. Why?
Favoritism.
Because of favoritism. Yaakov loves Yosef more than he loves them. A chain reaction starts. Yosef is so almost killed by his brothers and sold into slavery instead. He goes down to Mitzrayim. The Jewish people go down to Mitzrayim. There's a whole ruckus. They take Shimon into custody. They go back. They bring Binyamin. Tzaras upon tzaras upon tzaras all happen in Yaakov's family. Why?
Favoritism.
Exactly. They see Yaakov loves Yosef. They are very upset, rightfully so, and they hate Yosef for it. Okay. Yaakov now is on his deathbed. The Jewish people are once again united. They're all around him in the tribe. They're all living comfortably. Yosef is the king. Everything is wonderful. Yaakov's on his deathbed. His very last act as a person that's not yet in the grave. And what does he do?
Well, he chooses the
Bechor.
You gotta choose somebody.
He has to choose a Bechor, but he makes the same mistake again. You want to choose a Bechor, fine. But he goes a step further. Ephraim and Manasseh are considered like Reuven and Shimon. Say Yosef, you're the Bechorah. So you get, no. Ephraim and Menashe are getting a double, they're going to get a portion like Reuven and Shimon. The same mistake again. Now, how do we explain Yaakov's actions? In my opinion, you can do it in a few ways.
He's 147 years old.
One thing you can...
No, that's not the answer.
It could be, because later on here, after this whole episode, he sees B'nai Yosef and he says, Mihen, who are these? So many people say he had outsiders.
She's saying that these two sons are like full sons. Like these, in fact, he's giving up from up. It's being nicer eventually.
Yeah.
These two special sons are like these two special sons.
He's taking his grandchildren, though, but giving them a nachala, making him part of the shvat. But that's, again, making the same mistake again. I just don't understand what Yaakov is doing.
Wasn't supposed to be that way. She was supposed to marry Rachel first and have children by her.
Seder. I'm not saying no.
What was
it could be.
Mistakenly done.
Yeah,
could be.
Okay.
That's one answer. He's doing it.
Also, 17 years earlier, however many years earlier, it was unclear who's going to be leader. There's no doubt he's going to be leader. So
he's picking a leader now. He's not exactly making favoritism on Yosef over the others. Could be. He's making, says Rabbi Singer, he's fixing the mistake from then.
He doesn't think that was a mistake, I don't think. Obviously, if he continues the same path.
Or he thinks he's not a mistake. How does Yaakov not think it's a mistake? The chain reaction we just described all happened because he favored one son over the other. Could be Yaakov doesn't know.
Yeah,
of what about what?
Wait.
A, he doesn't know that the brothers hated him because he loved them too much. B, he probably doesn't know. Again, very hard for me to believe. But after all these years, he doesn't know that Yosef was sold into slavery by his brothers. Perhaps they told him, maybe they told him a cockamamie story of some sort that he was sold into slavery.
But Yosef said it was preordained. Yosef said it was preordained. So maybe, even though he knew it somehow, he understood that this was where he was supposed
could
to
be. Could be. I don't know. I never see here in the Psukim. If Yaakov didn't know, how come when he meets Yosef, he doesn't say, where have you been for 22 years? Do you know what you put me through? 22 years I was in Avelus for you. Why didn't you call? Why didn't you write? I'm sure Yosef had to tell him what happened. So, in some way or another, maybe Yaakov knew what happened. Or, okay, so we brought a few answers. This is some other. My singer says, Yosef was supposed to be the Bechor. What can we do? Lavan pulled the fast one over him, and he had children with Leah. But again, even that answer, I'm not so sure, would suffice because Leah had children before Rachel, as the Pasuk at least says, because God wanted it that way. Right? Vayistachet Rachma v'Rachel Akara. God made him have children first, but okay, an answer. Fine.
He didn't have children until he was married to them both.
That's what it seems from the Pesukim, yes. Could be. Could be.
Could be. Is the firstborn the father's firstborn, or is it... Is there an option?
The halachic firstborn is the mother's firstborn.
So therefore he has the
option. But with the father.
No, he has the option of choosing which wife.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not justified in choosing. I'm just saying everything happened because he chose Yosef over the rest. But to do it again.
But if the brothers were wrong, the brothers were wrong. The brothers did something that wasn't right. It wasn't because of Yaakov.
Well, the brothers did it because Yaakov loved Yosef too much.
But even the Russian is a little strange. For Reuven and Shimon, I mean, if he wanted to say, I'm treating you, Yosef, like the Bechor, then I'd say, you're going to be like Reuven.
I think you're beginning to get to the answer I wanted to go to. He doesn't say here, Yosef, you're the Bechor, I'm giving you a double portion, which means that you're going to get a double portion. It's like, you're fine, Menashe, fine. He's saying, Ephraim and Menashe is Reuven and Shimon. Again.
Shimon was in the Bechor, so...
Correct.
Like my first two.
I'm not so sure what's happening here has to do with the double portion per se. In my opinion, what's happening here is the following. Extreme situations call for extreme measures. My specific assumption is that Yaakov knew that because he loved Yosef too much, all this happened. He knew it. But he does it again, intentionally. Why? He's worried stiff. He has Reuven, he has Shimon, he has Yehuda, all these people were brought up by who? By him. And Lavan tells him that in Israel. They had exposure at least to Yitzchak. Some say to Avraham, but some many say Avraham died already. But to Yitzchak they saw. It's a Mefurash Pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach. They saw what was. They saw Israel. What about Ephraim and Menashe?
Yeah.
Mishkanish, Mishkanish. Their two legs never ever visited Israel. They definitely never saw Yitzchak. And when they finally see Yaakov, the Zayde, how old is the Zayde? We just read last week. How old was he? 130 years old. How much Jewish exposure did they have? That's was Yosef ever home?
That's why Yaakov said, who's are they? Because they're Egyptian.
Ah, very good. That could be. Was Yosef ever home?
No, he had a busy job.
He had a very busy job. Yaakov is worried these two kids won't be able to continue the Masorah to the Jewish people. And how big is the Jewish people then? 70 people. That's it? Yaakov knows that this is it. From this comes the Jewish people. From the Jewish people will come Mitzrayim, Pesach, and everything else that happens. Yaakov is worried stiff that these children will not be brought up Jewishly. So he makes an extreme decision. He's going to make the quote-unquote same mistake again, but a little differently. He loves Yosef, but he's making Reu, he's making Menashe and Ephraim to Reuven the Shimon to give them that extra sense of responsibility that you're now not just two children, you're part of the Shiftei Kah, you're part of the Shvatim. If you're part of the Shvatim, you have a job, you have a holy mission, and I'm hoping and praying that you'll, Be'ezrat Hashem, be able to keep that mission. And therefore Yaakov doesn't stop there. He goes on, according to this whole pasuk, if he continues through the psukim here, you'll see that he starts with the bracha to them, the famous bracha with the hands like this, Hamalach HaGoel, and the Chayiv Arech Yisrael. When we give brachas to our children, it's Ephraim and Menashe. There's so much attention given to who? Ephraim and Menashe. Why? Because Yaakov is not just a father. He's a machanech. He's the one that's going to now give on the Masorah to the next generation. And a good teacher understands in a class that with all the theories of education, sometimes certain students need extra attention. Certain students need extra attention. However, you don't have to necessarily show it in front of everyone. And maybe that's what Yaakov does learn from his mistake. Instead of making a sign that's saying they're like Reuven and Shimon, he says they're like Reuven and Shimon. And I'm giving them a bracha, but how am I giving them a bracha? A, privately. Only later on, if you look in the psukim, you'll see that in Perek Memtet, he calls in all the rest of the children to give them all brachas, or in some cases, not exactly blessings, like what he says to Shimon and Levi. But gentlemen, he does it privately. B, when are the repercussions to the fact that he's getting a double portion going to be? Years later. So yeah, the brothers might be upset, but it sounds like the tonic pasim that's in front of them. But after all those disclaimers, it's true. He's giving them special attention because they need special attention. They're special students. They are not like Reuven and Shimon that grew up in Yaakov's house. They are Menashe and Ephraim that grew up in Egypt. Their father was very busy. They need that extra attention. And a good teacher knows that sometimes certain students need extra attention, albeit you don't have to do it in the classroom. You can do it later. You can call them at home. You can do home visits. You can try in different kinds of ways to give those students extra attention. And that's exactly what I think Yaakov is doing. And that's exactly the message that I think he's giving us for generations. It's wonderful to say we treat everyone equally. It's even better and politically correct to say I treat all my students the same. But there's no two students that are alike. Chazal already tell us that there's no two people that look alike, and therefore there's no two people that what? Think alike. Every student is different. And therefore Yaakov Avinu, who understands this, comes along and says, I have to treat these two differently. They're going to be like Reuven and Shimon. And they're going to be like Reuven and Shimon. Why? Let's look in the pasuk we started with. What Yaakov is giving Yosef a history lesson over here. Can anyone explain what he's giving us this whole Hagdamah for? We know they were born in Egypt. Yaakov knows they were born in Egypt. Why is he giving this whole Hagdamah in Pasuk Hey? I think that's the reason. It's not a Hagdamah, it's the reason for what he's about to do. Because they were born in Egypt, and they're special cases, they're going to be like Reuven and Shimon. Because they were born in Egypt, and I wasn't here yet, Therefore, they need him. Therefore, they're going to be like Reuven and Shimon. They need that special attention. Will there be repercussions like in the time of Yosef? Yaakov hopes not. He does it privately this time. The repercussions are only going to be in years later when they go into Eretz Israel. But there's no choice. Well, he came to Egypt and he met them.
Yes, they could have been born here and then he went down to Egypt afterwards. And
born where? Yosef wasn't married yet. Yosef wasn't married when he lived in his father's home.
No, when the day after. I mean, when the first till the famine started or whatever. I mean, he didn't even know that he was ruler of Egypt for the first 7 years. So, for all you know, I mean, he's
yeah.
Down there or whatever.
But even so, according to what we're saying, that's the reason. Why he's giving them the special attention, because they weren't born in Israel. Maybe they were born somewhere on the way, but...
Yeah, he could have lived in Eretz Yisrael his whole life and went down to Egypt and become offered in services.
I mean, you're assuming what we started with, and that is that Yaakov didn't know the whole history, how Yosef got down to Mitzrayim.
Sure, they did some but catch up, though.
I'm sure they did a catch up. I'm sure they did a catch up.
His brother sold his sons.
Yeah.
Does he give to Yosef?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he doesn't... In front of all the brothers.
He gives everyone equal.
He doesn't admit that a son of Menashe have...
Right, correct, brothers. Correct. But he's telling if I'm a Menashe, I'm giving you special attention. You like the Shvatim, HaMalach HaGoel, every Jewish kid is going to be blessed. Okay, find the Menashe.
When do they find that out?
Why do we say Yisrael have a Menashe? What is...
According to what I'm saying now, for the reason that I just presented, and that is that they needed that special attention in order to survive as Jews. Right, but that's stage one. Wait, that's stage one. They like Shvatim. Stage two, every Jewish kid is going to be blessed, can find the Chemenashim. Stage three is that special bracha of HaMalach HaGolo that, as we know, every child knows.
He knew that Ephraim Menashe was going to turn out okay at that point?
A teacher never knows if his students are going to turn out okay. He has to do his best.
Why would he say that the Jews will bless the children to be like you?
Maybe if he told them that, if he said every Jew is going to bless him like you, that will give them that extra sense of responsibility that Yaakov thinks they need in order to survive as Jews. But look, I accept what you say, and I think this is a very important lesson in general. We do our best in education. We don't know what's going to happen. And we plow the field, and we plant, and we irrigate, and we hope everything will be okay.
There's also a flip side. How do you think that that Yosef felt when Yaakov said, your children will be like Reuven? When Reuven
struck out
with him. And Shimon also. Shimon had his problems also.
Why did you pick Reuven and Shimon?
It's like, why are you telling my children should be like them? Tell them that it should be like me.
I think when he said to Reuven and Shimon, it means
what he's saying is,
figuratively, they're going to be like Shmuckin.
Yeah,
he picked Reuven and Shimon because they're the first two.
Why pick those two names?
Why pick those two names? Because
they're the first two.
They're the first two.
No, maybe what Yaakov is showing is that even though they made mistakes,
you'll make mistakes.
That nevertheless, they're great, and they're my children, so.
I like what you're saying. Even though they made mistakes, they feel that they're part of Shifteka. And you'll make mistakes if I'm a Menashe. You're living in Mitzrayim, it's going to be hard, it's harder for you. But even so, you're going to be part of the Shifteka. Know what great responsibility you have now.
This is blessing you to our children, because those two children, the brothers, they don't fight like the other brothers.
Could be.
Because Menashe's firstborn.
This is not our topic, but that could be. With many this particular week, I'm sure you'll see many Divrei Torah as to why is it Ephraim and Menashe are the way we bless our children.
Right.
I like your answer. We don't know that they fought.
But
at least in the Pshat, there's no recording of fighting. The other answer, of course, is that, hey, look what happened. They lived in Mitzrayim their whole life. They acted like Jews the whole time. We want to bless our children. They should be like Ephraim and Menashe. Reuven and Shimon, they lived in Israel, knew it was a little easier to be a Jew. But they were in Mitzrayim, and they still were good Jews. We want to bless our children in every single situation. They'll be like Ephraim and Menashe.
I'm surprised that on this final day, that giving all the brothers the brachot, he doesn't now, since I never listen, I'm now going to go down the list and Ephraim and Asher get their own brother.
Right. Maybe that's how it's...
When do they discover, hey, guess what, these guys are even promoted. It's kind of like...
So that's maybe it. Yaakov keeps it as concealed as possible, because what his goal is not to say to all the brothers, I like them more. He learned from that mistake. He's trying to give... It's a different goal this time. To give them that extra... positive reinforcement.
I don't know if you have, you can stop that, but, but I was always troubled. Yaakov recognizes Reuven as the Bechor, but Reuven doesn't accept the double portion. And then the leadership is taken away from Reuven and slipped all the way down to Yehuda. So I never understood that.
Well, it's like this. Reuven lost it according to conventional wisdom because he slept with his father's Pelegesh. So he lost it. Shimon and Levi lost. They were supposed to go to Shimon and Levi, but they lost it because of Shechem. So Yehuda is the next guy, and thank God he did a pretty good job.
Once you're taking it away from Reuven, why wouldn't you then go to Yosef?